So we are holding on Kufiyut Aleph from the base, about a third of the way down the arm of the line begins Kolin. Okay, we mentioned yesterday, okay, so our Mishnah had said as follows, that all the dinim of the Yom Titin Skore and Loisol and Prola Socher and all the various S's and Loisa says that we talked about yesterday all apply whether you hire a person or whether you rented an animal or whether you rented Kalim. We said, on the other hand, that it does not apply, that only some of them apply to a Ger Tosha. You have that mitzvah say to pay him on time. You don't have the mitzvah Loisa say of not leaving it overnight. Then we brought a Braisa that had two other opinions. We ended up saying that our Mishnah is according to Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel. Then we had a Braisa that had two other opinions. One was the Tanakhama of that Braisa said that all of them apply in all cases. Adam, Behema, Kalim, Ger Toshav, etc. And then we had Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda saying that making a three-way distinction between a person where you're a yid, where you're over on everything, versus a Ger Tosha, where you only have the Esa and not the Lois Esa, which so far is in accordance with our Mishnah, versus Behemoth of Kalim, where you only have the issue of Lois Sasha, of withholding it, which is not like our Mishnah. And therefore, so we ended up saying our Mishnah is a kind of Dvei Rabbi Shmuel, who says exactly what it says in the Mishnah. Okay. So now let's look into the reasons behind the various opinions. My time at the Tanakhama de Me'achecha, what's the reason of the Tanakhama of that Braisa that begins Me'achecha, where he says that all the essays and all the lois essays applies across the board to whether it's a Yisrael or a Ger Toshav and whether it's Adam or Behema or Kalim. The reason is Gomer Socher Socher, because he learns Gzera Shava from the two places where it says Socher. In Parshas Kedoshim, where it says Loisol and Porla Socher Itchad Breker, and in Parshas Kisetze, which is the other place that it talks about these dinim, where it says that Loisashik Socher Oniv Evian. So he makes a Gzera Shava that what applies by one applies by the other.
From Socher
Socher. Therefore, okay. if we said that Bisharecha, the Tanakhama of that Braisa says that Bisharecha comes to include a Ger Toshav who eats Nevelus Bisharecha, so then it must be the same thing, that all the various things apply to him. Apply when you hire him and don't pay him on time.
That's the
Tanakhama of the Braisa. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda, loy gamar, socher, socher. Okay, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Huda doesn't learn that Gzera Shava. As we've had many times before, you learn a Gzera Shava with Kabbalah from your Rebbeim. He didn't learn that Gzera Shava, therefore he doesn't hold of it. Tosfos actually points out an interesting thing. There is a different Gzera Shava of socher, socher that we learned back in Kedushin in connection with an Eved Ivri. So therefore, one of the explanations how it comes about that there's different opinions on Gzeira Shavas is ultimately you have to have learned it from your Rebbe or learned it from his Rebbe back Halacha Moshe Sinai, that how do you have different opinions?
Right.
One possibility is because you have the known pair of words that's used for Gzeira Shava, but which pair of words it is, what context those are in, and what we learn from it is the question. So that can be. They knew there's Gzeira Shava Socher Socher, but maybe only by Eved Ivri, not necessarily does it apply over here. Fine. So therefore, so he would say, fine, very well then, in Kiseitse, where it mentions Bisharecha, fine, I agree that Bisharecha applies to the Ger Toshav, but only over there. Bisharecha refers to Ger Toshav, yeah. And only there, and there it says the mitzvah, there it says the mitzvah saseh, v'yoy mitzvah in skore, that you should pay him on time. So fine, that applies to him. You can't say that the loisa says from Kedoshim, loisashik, loisreachav, loisigzah, loisolam, prolos socher, itchad breker, that those should apply to the Ger Toshav. Because no Ger Toshav. So the question is, nehid lo gomer socher socher. Fine, okay, he doesn't learn the Ger Toshav. The heim of a kelim mishum v'yomitzit in skore nami nechayev. But why doesn't he say, given that we said yesterday, the heim of a kelim is also learned from a pasuk in Kiseitse, where it says ba'artacha. Then why doesn't he say that? Why does he say that? By behemoth of a kalim, you only have the issue of loy sashay, the first thing in the pesukim and kiseitz over there, and not the v'loy savay olav hashemesh, not what the pasuk continues that. You should have the asay the v'yoyim etikin tzchore, which is in that context in parshas kiseitz. The pasuk starts off loy sashay tzachiv oni ve'edyan me'achecha imigercha etc. V'yoyim etikin tzchore. If Loi Sashek applies to Behem of a Kalim based on the word Ba'artacha, then Be'yom Etzitin Skorei also should.
Because
what's the difference? Because it's all in that context. It's all in those two psukim. The answer is Tani Rav Chananya Omakra. Yes, but we learn in the pasuk continues like this. Loi Sova Olav Hashemesh, don't allow the sun to set without paying him. Why? Ki Onihu, because he is poor. So that is a mute. Mishahin boin the daniyus vashiros. Therefore, that means to say that the word biyomatikin skaray. It's biyomatikin skaray v'leisalva al vashamash. It's all in one pasuk again. So mishahin boin the daniyus vashiros. Therefore, those words leisalva al vashamash have to be referring to only somebody who's able to become rich or poor. Yotze behemer v'kelim shein boin the daniyus vashiros, as opposed to behemer or kelim, which they themselves cannot. Their owner can be rich or poor, but they themselves can't. Therefore, that's the Torah is mamayit, according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, that the din of biyomet tikin skara does not apply to them. The mitzvah I think. Okay. The Tanakama hai ki ani hu mai avid lei. Fine. What does the Tanakama do with these words ki ani hu? The answer is ahumi boi lahaktim ani la asher. He holds that it's like this. Suppose you have two workers. One was poor, one was rich. You only have enough money to pay one of them. And as we say later on, you're only over on the issue of loisolin and the various essays and loisessays over here. If you have what to pay and you're not paying, not if you push it, don't have what to pay. Although, by the way, the Alter Rebbe mentions quotes from the Arizal in Hilchos Schirus and Choshen Mishpat that even though technically that's true, it is Midas Chassidus to borrow money in order to pay your workers. You don't have, you're talking that over, but still Midas Chassidus is borrow money and pay them.
But that's not the halacha.
It's part of the halacha, but it's not something you absolutely must do. Right. So suppose you have these two workers, one's poor, one's rich, and you only have enough money to pay one of them. Which one should you pay first? The Tanakhama says the fact that the pasuk says ki oni hu means that the oni comes ahead of the asher.
What
does Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? Where does he learn that? He answers ahumi lo sashik sochi oni ve'evyan nafka. He holds yes, but you have the word oni twice in those psukim. It starts off by saying, don't withhold the wages of a hired worker who's an oni or an evian. An evian, by the way, is worse off than an oni. An oni is poor. Evian, we usually translate as needy, means destitute. Right, like here, the evian actually explains in various places on the psukim, there's a lot of ta'ev. Not ta'ev like something disgusting, that would be an ayin. Ta'ev with an aleph, meaning to have a desire for. He desires everything. He needs everything because he's got nothing. As opposed to an oni is somebody, you know, he's below the poverty line, as they might say in modern terms. You know, he needs food stamps maybe, but he has, you know, other than that, he basically has. Yeah.
So here
Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says you have twice oni in the psukim, like sashik sochi oni ve'evyon and ki oni hu in the following pasuk. Thank you. So there you go. Then you have one can teach you that the oni goes ahead of the osher, and the other one can teach you that the din of biyomet tikin skaray, the etzah biyomet tikin skaray, only applies to things that in and of themselves can be poor, namely people, not animals and not cattle.
Isn't there something about hiring someone if you can't afford to pay them?
If you knew in advance you can't afford to pay them, yeah, we're not talking about that. It happened. You ran out of money, let's say, whatever. You don't have money on hand. And again, you know, it all has to be. I mean, we're all assuming, as we said before, and as we're going to get to later in the Gemara, it has to be that the guy actually asks you for the money, or at least made it clear that he wants it, you know, and that you didn't make any previous deal ahead of time, and that it's not assumed. We learned yesterday, for example, about the merchants of Sura, that they're not over on Baltolin because it's a known thing. They don't have cash on hand until after market day.
Right.
So yeah, but we're talking about under circumstances without any of that. Yeah. Okay. The Tanakama would answer yes, but you still need both psukim, both times where it says oni, and you don't have any of them available to teach you that it doesn't apply to behavior of a kelim. Namely, chad lahaktim oni la osher, v'chad lahaktim oni la evyan. One teaches you that if you have the two workers, the oni and the osher, then as we said, the oni comes first. The other one tells you in a similar way, if you have an oni and an evyan, the oni still comes first.
Even from someone who's more
even more than the oni, even more than the evyan. The logic
oni comes before the asher.
He also comes before
the
logic is like this. The logic is the evyan, because he's so desperate, because he doesn't have anything, therefore he's more likely to demand his pay. The oni, being a little bit better off, is more likely to say, you know what, fine, I can do without it. And we assume that that's the case. Usually an oni is somebody who has a little more self-respect.
Yeah,
he's not yet in the
usher to come before him.
No, but the usher doesn't need it right now so much. The oni needs it, but on the other hand, he still has enough self-respect that he may not feel comfortable going and asking for it, whereas the Evian is beyond that already. He'll go and ask for it regardless. So it's tzricha, and in fact, we need both of those dinim. D'i yashmin and Evian, because if we only told about the case of the Evian, you would say the reason why he goes first, mishum b'lai kostif, why the Oni goes ahead of the Evian, sorry, you would say, mishum b'lai kostif l'mitbe. Fine, the Oni should go ahead of the Evian, because the Oni is not embarrassed to ask for it again and again, whereas the Evian is not embarrassed to ask again and again, so therefore what will happen, if you don't pay the Oni first, what's going to happen? The Oni is going to ask for it. You're going to tell him I don't have right now because I already paid the Evian first. And the Oni is going to be too embarrassed to ask again. And then you've deprived him of his salary. Where's the Evian? The Oni is embarrassed to ask more than once.
Yeah.
That's the point.
But
so
there
if you
is
don't
a meaning of embarrassment.
Right, but as opposed to the Evian is not embarrassed. If the Evian comes to you on Sunday
right.
and asks for his pay and you tell him I don't have right now, he'll come back Monday. And if
right.
you don't pay him Monday, he'll come back Tuesday.
Right.
Therefore, we can argue it's logical. Fine, the Oni goes ahead of the Evian because the Oni, if he comes on Sunday and asks for it, and you tell him I don't have, he may be too embarrassed to ever come back again, and then he'll never get it. So fine, that could be logical. Aval Osher de Kosef Lemitbe, but an Osher is sure embarrassed to ask for it again. He also has self-respect. Emelo, you would think maybe not. Maybe the Osher should come ahead of the Oni. Therefore, we need the one pasuk. The Iyashmin and Osher, and on the other hand, if we were only told about the Osher, you would say, fine, Mishum B'leit Tzarechle, of course the Oni goes ahead of the Osher. The Osher doesn't need it as badly. Aval Evian de Tzarechle. Okay, there's a relative term, but fine. And he did the work, he obviously wants to pay, but yeah. Aval Evian de Tzarechle, but the Evian who really badly needs it, even more than the Oni, you would think he comes ahead of the Oni. Emelo, you would think maybe he comes ahead of the Oni. Tzricha, and therefore we needed both of them. By the way, the Gemara doesn't talk about what if you have an Osher versus an Evian. The Chofetz Chaim wrote a sefer. The Chofetz Chaim wrote a sefer called Ahavas Chesed. So the Chofetz Chaim wrote a sefer called Ahavas Chesed on various things, including the dinim of tzedakah and gmilas chasadim and paying workers on time and various other things like that. Various other things like that. So he has a full discussion of these dinim of paying workers on time over there, and he says, yeah, evidently based on the logic over here, you would have to say the Evian goes first because
sure.
he needs it more than Osher.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. The Oni comes first.
Yeah,
sure, the Evian.
Right. Okay.
Right.
No, but you could have argued the other way around. The Evian is not going to be embarrassed to ask again and again, but the Osher
right.
will not ask more than once. But still, the fact that the Evian needs it more outweighs that. Okay. Fine. So the Tanakhama of the Braisa will say that that's why we need the two times Oni, and therefore you don't have any of them available to teach you, not Behemoth of a Kalim, which can't become poor. So far, so good. Now let's return to our Mishnah.
What's that often?
Wait. The Tana Didan, now we have to deal with the Tana of our Mishnah, whom the Halacha is like. Against those two other opinions. So we have to ask Monafshach, however we look at it, how does he get his opinion? Again, so far we have the Tanakhama of the Braisa said that all the dinim apply to everything because of the Gzeira Shava Sacher Sacher. We have Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda is distinguishing between a Yid versus a Ger Toshav versus Behem of a Kalim on the basis of what the Limudim that we just said. He doesn't hold a Gzeira Shava Sacher Sacher, and he holds this Limud of Ki Oni Hu that it exempts Behem of a Kalim. The Tana of our Mishnah, who says that Behem of a Kalim are on the same level as a person, but a Ger Toshav is different. Why? Manafshach. How does he get it? E Yalif Sacher Sacher, if he's using the Zer Shava to apply the mitzvahs from one place to the other place, like the Tanakhama of the Braisa does, after the Ger Toshav Nami, then the Ger Toshav also should be, when you don't pay him on time, you should be subject to all these S's and Lois S's. Yeah. E lo yalif sacher sacher, and if he doesn't learn the Gzeira Shava sacher sacher, Behem of a Kalim Minole, then where is he getting that they apply to Behem of a Kalim? Yeah. Or at any rate, fine. He might not agree with Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda saying that Ki Oni who exempts Behem of a Kalim from Beyemetich and Skore, but at least he has no particular reason to say that the Lois Sasha Kasracha, the Lois Sigzo, and the Lois Solim Tolas Sacher, all of which are in Parashas Kedoshim, where it doesn't say anything about Behem of a Kalim, that those should apply to Behem of a Kalim. Why? No Gzeira Shava. The answer is La'olam lo yalef sacher sacher. It's true. The Tana of our Mishnah, which is also Tana Dreda B'Shmol, as we said, does not hold of the Gzeda Shava sacher sacher. V'shayni hasam de'omakrov le'solam to'ula sacher itcha adboiter. However, it's different. Since the Pasuk in Kedoshim says that you should not let the wages of the hired worker remain with you until the morning, and the word with you is extra, means kol shapir lasa itcha. It means anything where the work is being done with you. So therefore, it includes the name of a Kalim. So therefore, yeah, all of them. So you have
because
the
work because
itcha means anything that's done with you. So therefore, it includes anything. It includes the name of a Kalim as well. Okay, then the question is, you have to get after the ger toshav kami. Fine, by that logic, include the ger toshav as well. The answer is amakro reyacha. Fine, but the pasuk does also say in kedoshim rather, the Torah uses the word reyacha. They were like sasha kes reyacha, v'loy tigzel, etc. So reyacha means a fellow yid, v'loy ger toshav. Get tzedek obviously is a yid. Yeah. That Tosfos discusses, by the way, a little bit why we need a separate limud for a ger tzedek anyway, but whatever, let's not get into that. But anyway. Anyway, the point is that you have a ribui from the word itcha, which we're saying includes behemoth of a kalim. We have a miut from Reyasa, which we're saying excludes a ger tosha. So the question itcha means with you, meaning anything that you're doing work with, including behemoth of a kalim. But Re'acha means your fellow yid, as opposed to a ger tosha. So that's omakro, Re'acha v'la ger tosha. Fine, ihochi afila behemoth of a kalim nami. Fine, behemoth of a kalim are not Re'acha either. The answer is hoksiv itcha. Okay, but the pasuk says itcha. So we have a ribui and we have a miut. So, mara iso l'rabat behemoth of a kalim alohit ger tosha. No, it's not ribui or miut in the sense that we're going to do the famous thing, iat adon elokein afras or anything like that. No, we have a ribui that's meant to include one thing. We have a miut that's meant to exclude something. We have to figure what is being included and what is being excluded. So that's the question. Mara Isa, what makes you see it that way? Lulabas behemoth of a kalim alohit ger tosha. Who says that Re'acha is meant to exclude the ger toshav and itcha is meant to include behemoth of a kalim? Maybe the other way around. Maybe it includes ger toshav that you're over on all the isurim with him and excludes behemoth of a kalim, right? The answer is mistabra behemoth of a kalim. It's more logical if you're going to include something by the word itcha, you're going to include behemoth of kalim. Shekhen yeshlan b'chlam momen re'acha, because they may not be your actual re'acha, but at least the momen that belongs to re'acha. Ger toshav ain't b'chlam momen re'acha. Ger toshav doesn't belong to re'acha, so there's more of a logical reason to exclude him.
It's then not re'acha.
No, okay, but the point is that he's less itcha than behemoth of kalim, which at least belonged to a yid. Yeah. Fine. Okay, so we've explained according to this Tanna. Okay.
An Eved would fall in which category?
An Eved, Bechlal, Bepashtas would be Mom and Re'acha. But Komashakona Eved Kona Rabba. If you hire somebody else's Eved, Bepashtas, you're paying his master anyway. So it would be just like the Hame of a Caleb, I guess, yeah. Fine. Now, we just said that we're using the word Re'acha to exclude a Ger Tosha from these rules. So, fine. What is the Tanakama of that Braisa who says that Ger Toshav is fully included in all the dinim because he learns the Gzeira Shava Sacher Sacher? What is he doing with the word? No, what is he doing with the word Reacha? Mefoshim discussed, by the way. Are we asking only according to the? Are we asking only according to the Tanakama of that Braisa, or maybe are we asking according to the Yosi Behuda as well? Maybe, but maybe not. Maybe we could argue according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, who says that who is saying that there's a certain distinction. He is saying that there's a certain distinction that a ger toshav not everything applies to. Fine, then it's not a problem. But yeah, okay. The answer is the Tanakama of that Braisa would say that we use it for what we learn in a Braisa. The word Re'acha comes to exclude a guy. Amalaki is another one of those things changed by the censors, and in original uncensored Gemara, as they would say Goy or Nochri or some such thing. Yeah. Okay, the question is Amalaki me'achecha nafka. What do you need the word re'acha for? You have the pasuk says me'achecha from your brothers, and the Tanakama of that Braisa learns Gzeira Shava Sacher Sacher. So whatever it says in Kedoshim applies in Kiseite and vice versa. Therefore, me'achecha already means, as we said at the top of the Amud Praf La'acherim, as opposed to Goyim. What do you need re'acha for that? The answer is Chad Lamishra Oshkoi v'Chad Lamishra Goz Gzeloi. We would say the Tanakama of that Braisa would say that you need two words. One to teach you that you're not over if you're Oshik, if you deny him his wages, don't pay him. Yeah, as we said yesterday, you need Re'acha and you need Me'achecha. One teaches you that if you're Oshik him, that if you deny him his wages when you're not supposed to, then you're not over on that issue. It would be one or the other, whatever. And the other one would be to be matir actual gezel from him. Now,
what do you mean
by actual gezel? What do we mean by actual gezel? You know, on Amud Aleph, we talked about the pros and cons of whether oshik and gezel, as it applies to a schar socher, whether it's the same thing or two variant forms of the same thing. Here, Rashi says it means gzela mamash, literally gzela. Now, we learned at the end of Bava Kamma. We had a whole sugya over there about gezel hagoy, whether it's mutter or osir. This Gemara bears on that. From this Gemara, it comes out that, at least according to the opinion of the Tanakhama of this Braita, gezel hagoy is in fact mutter. Now, is that the final halacha? Pretty much all of the poskim say that no, on the basis of we learned otherwise in the Gemara over there in Bava Kamma, that we learned over there based on Sukkim that Gezel Agoi is in fact Osir. And after all, this is all only according to the Tana Kamma of the Sprite. We don't hold like him, we hold like the Tana of our Mishnah. Who used the word Re'acha for something else to teach us that the dinim of Leitzolim Pula Socher doesn't apply to a Ger Tosha. Not to say that you're allowed Gezel Agoi.
And in Bava Kamma,
we had different opinions about it also. But we said over there, we discussed over there. We had, for example, the thing about when you're buying back an Eved Ivri from a goy that you have to deal with him fairly, and you're not allowed to misrepresent the amount that you owe to him. And we had a whole discussion over there about the whole concept of gezel goy, and we concluded.
He bought a toast guy.
The Gemara discusses that in Bava Basra.
He also gave him change, and he underpaid. He's a accountant.
So that's different. When you tell him Alecha and Soymech, we learned over there. We learned over there. That's different. But here we're in our Gemara, we're taking it as a given that Gezel Agoi is Mutter based on Re'acha, but that's not the final Maskana, because again, this is only according to one Tana and the Bright. So, and the Gemara continues with Tzrichi. According to this opinion, we need both words, Me'achecha and Re'acha, to teach us that both Oshik and Gezel are also. We can't learn one from the other. The Yeshmin and Gzela, because if we were only told that Gezel Agoi is Mutter, you would say, fine, Bishum B'lai Tarachbe. When you steal from him, it's not necessarily something that he worked hard for. It might have been, for example, something that he found. He yarshin or whatever. Not necessarily. Did he work for?
Not include you in something he found.
Because, no, that's the thing. Gezel is not necessarily something he worked for. Aval Oishko, the Torah Kabeh, but when it comes to Oishik, which after all is something he worked hard for, Eimala, you would think maybe the Torah does not want you to take that. The Yashmin.
Keep the same definition of Oishik for Yid and for Goy?
We would. Oishik means that he worked for you, and now you're denying him his wages. Fine. Wages is something he worked for.
Yeah.
So you would think maybe not. That is why the kind of... Because he worked for it. You would think maybe that's different. Maybe the Torah doesn't mind you being Goizel him, something that he didn't necessarily work for, but maybe the Torah does mind you taking away something that he worked for. The Iyashmin and Oishka, and conversely, if we were only told that you're author in Oish, that you're mutter in Oishik of a guy, you would think Mishum Delay Osir Liyadeh. The difference is okay, but there you're talking about money which never came to his hands yet. You promised him you're going to pay him X amount for his work. He doesn't actually have the money in hand yet, so therefore you withholding it, maybe it's not so bad. Aval Gzeloy to Osir Liyadeh, when it comes to Gezel, something that he actually had in his hand, and you're going to take it away. Eimaloy, you would think maybe not. And therefore we need to be told both things, according to this daya, that both Re'acha and Me'achecha teach us that both things are mutter when it comes to a goy.
Even with a Chilul Hashem?
Chilul Hashem is a different matter. We look, aside from the whole question of whether Gezel HaGoy is mutter or not, which again, based on the Gemara and Bava Kamma, we said is not, there is an addition on top of that, according to everybody, there's the issue of Chilul Hashem anyway. For sure, if the Gezel or Oishik, as the case may be, is going to result in a Chilul Hashem, then you're definitely not allowed to. Not necessarily not. Let's say the guy doesn't know, for example, that you owe him this amount. Or let's say, for whatever reason, you have some way of making him think that he was already paid, let's say, or whatever. Okay, whatever it is. Okay. Okay, what is Rabbi Yossi doing with the itcha we said before? We said that the Tana of our Mishnah said that he uses the word itcha to teach us that you need behemoth of a kelim, that behemoth of a kelim, that the all the dinim apply to it as well. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that. What is he doing with that word itcha? Tosfos points out the question really isn't about the word itcha. We're going to have on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, we're going to have a couple of limudim that we learn from itcha. The question really is why does it need to say the word socher? Given that he's not using the gzeder shava socher anyway, all it needed to say is loy solen pu ulosa itcha. The question is more on the socher rather than on the itcha. The answer is mabo lo lechidur of Ah. He would use it to teach us the din that of Ah. The Amr of Ah. Even if you only hire a person to harvest for you one single cluster of grapes, over Mishum Baltolin. You're still over on Baltolin if you don't pay him on time. You would think it's such a small. So Rashi says it means Kolena Schir Shoes. That according to Rashi, this is where Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda learned the concept that we learned in the Mishnah, that even in the previous Mishnah, that even if you only hire somebody for a couple of hours, you have the mitzvah of Yemititin Skhoda and the Lysava El Hashemesh and all that. From this, that even if you only hired him to harvest one cluster of grapes, which is going to take a very short amount of time. Tosfos says no. Schir Shoes we would understand without that. But usually, fine, you might hire a worker for a whole day, half a day. It's not normal that you would hire a worker for just a couple of minutes like that. Therefore, we need a chiddush to be told that even in that case, the din applies. Mm-hmm. Also, Tosfos says another point. We learned in the previous parak when we talked about the dinim of, or in the seventh parak rather, when we talked about the dinim of workers eating on the job, we said theoretically, let's say, for example, the worker was told to harvest one cluster of grapes. He can eat that cluster. He's entitled to eat on the job. So let's say you hired somebody to harvest one cluster. He ate the whole cluster. You still have to pay him. You're still over if you don't pay him in time.
I was going to ask that's not right.
But nevertheless, he did the work for you. Okay.
And he ate.
So, yeah. Okay, so that's the point. Even if you only hired him to harvest one cluster of grapes, over on Mishum Baltolin, you're still over on Baltolin. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda would say that that's what you learn from the word socher, or from the word itfa, as the case may be. As long as he's a socher, as long as he's hired, and he's working with you, then you still have the din that you have to pay him on time. The idach, what would the other opinions, what would the Tanakama of that Braisa and the Tana of our Mishnah, what would they learn that from? They say they learn that from the next pasuk. The Elov who knows says napshe napshe. The Elov who knows says napshe napshe. They would learn it from the pasuk continues to it, meaning to his salary. He's lifting up his soul, meaning dover amosa napshe olav, something for which he is giving for which he's giving his soul, not mesiras nefesh in the sense of putting aside his life. That's the next thing we're going to talk about. We just mean actually says kosher shibud atzmo olav. He was willing to be meshabed his soul, to be meshabed his personality, let's say, to do this work, even if it was only for 5 minutes or whatever. He's no says napshated. He set aside his mitzios in order to do the work. Therefore, you owe him. The idach. What would Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda answer to that? He would say, no, there's a different thing that I learned from those words. Elov who knows says napshay. L'chidatanya, as we learn in a braisa, when the pasuk says elov who knows says napshay, it means, Rashi brings it on the pasuk, by the way, it means not to tell you a din that you otherwise wouldn't know from these pesukim, but rather to teach you a moral lesson. Why is it so important to pay him on time? Because mifnei ma olo zeba kevesh v'nitla v'ilun amasa asaf melemisa. What do you think? Why did this person was he willing to go up on a dangerous high ramp or suspend himself from a tree when he's picking the fruit or otherwise be ready to give himself over to something that he could be killed on the job? Loyal, all right. Wasn't it for his salary? Therefore, the point is, the pasuk is not telling us, according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, a din that you learn from these sukkim, but rather, why do you have this obligation? Why is it so important to pay him on time? Because look what hardships he went to in order to do this job for you.
Isn't that the equivalent of a din?
No, because a din would be that we're saying that even if he only did one cluster of grapes, then you're over Mishum Baltolin.
Right.
The Chachamim said you learn that from a different pasuk, you learn that from the Elohu Noseh Snapshay. He's saying, no, that din that you pay him for even one cluster of grapes, that we learn from the word socher and itzah. This, the Elohu Noseh Snapshay, is teaching us the background behind the mitzvah.
And what does that add to the
you should understand how serious it is if you withhold his wages, if you don't pay him in time. You should understand, as the Gemara is going to continue now, that it's almost, that it's as if you're taking away his life. Incidentally, by the way, as a side thing, since we're mentioning over here that the guy is going up on a dangerous ramp or suspending himself from a tree, it gets into an interesting question, which Achronim discussed. Is a person allowed to take a job which could be life-threatening? This is a Gemara that bears on that. We see that the answer is yes. The Noda Yehuda talks about it in connection with hunting, for example. The Rav Moshe Feinstein talks about it in connection with, for example, playing baseball, where people have been known to be killed by wild pitches or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Dover Acher continues the Braisa. Another explanation of the Elov who knows says Nafshay, Ko HaKovish, Schar Socher, if somebody withholds the wages of a worker, Ke'ilu Noitel Nafshay Mimenu, it's as if he's taking away his life from him. So either way, the point is that you have to understand, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Huda says, from the Elov who knows says Nafshay, the Torah is not teaching you a new angle on the din, the Torah is teaching you what's the reason behind this din, why is it such a serious thing to withhold his wages. he put himself in danger, and then it's like you're taking away his neshama. Okay. We say noto nafshoy mimenu. So whose neshama are you taking away? Rav Huna and Rav Chista, they argue on this. We learned this at the end of Bava Kama as well. Chadam or nafshe shal gazlan, v'chadam or nafshe shal nigzol. One says that when you steal or otherwise withhold money that really belongs to somebody else, if you're taking away the nefesh of the gazlan, you're taking away you, the gazlan, are taking away your own nefesh. You're taking away your own nesham. V'chadam or nafshe shal nigzol. The other one says no. It means the nigzol, the victim. Nefesh.
Either one or the other?
One or both? Well, which one primarily does the pasuk mean? Kilo noito nafsha. Mandom a nafsha shor gazla, and he learns it because you have a pasuk in Mishlei that says, al tigzol dal ki dalhu, don't steal from the poor person, even if he's poor, meaning even though you think he's poor and he's a nebuch and he has nobody to help him, don't steal from him.
What do we say don't steal from him? The Torah says don't steal, period.
Fine. Mishlei, which is Shlomo HaMelech giving us his chokhmah, is elaborating on it. He's explaining, don't think just because the guy is helpless, don't think you can get away with it, because, and the pasuk continues, don't make the poor person feel bad in the gate, which we learned at the end of Bava Kama has a specific meaning. It means when it comes to the matnas aniyim, leket shit chapeya, the rest of them which are given out in the gates of the city, don't make them feel bad by withholding it from them. And the pasuk continues, the next pasuk in Mishlei continues, ki Hashem yoriv ribam, be aware that Hashem is going to fight on their behalf, v'kobas kev ehem nefesh, and he will steal from the ones who steal from them their nefesh.
So that's not going to do that for the rich guy that you steal from?
More so for the poor person. The more so when you steal from a poor person where you think you can get away with it, and the Eved is going to deal with you. The rich person has resources.
That's,
yes,
that's logical. First of all, chiddush to say, even if you do it for the rich, you're going to
the rich person, because the rich person has recourse. He has ways. He's able to have the time to schlep you to Beis Din, he's whatever. A poor person, you would think you might get away.
So you would think the rich, you know, Hashem will not be
so safe. Because the Hashem is going to intervene if the person himself doesn't have any other recourse. As we learned in Bava Kama, for example, that the concept of complaining to the Eibishter about somebody else. If you have recourse here on earth, you're actually not supposed to do that. Same idea over here. If it's a rich person, he has other resources. He has other ways of getting the thing accomplished by Beis Din or whatever. Therefore, the Eved doesn't necessarily need to intervene. With a poor person, the Eved needs to intervene because otherwise he has no way around it. And also, there is the fact we learned at the end of Bava Kama. Also, Tosfos mentioned over there, for example, that Rashi actually mentioned the idea, for example, that maybe the poor person has no food, and therefore, by taking away the little that he has, you're actually going to cause him to die of hunger. Yeah. So therefore, from that pasuk, you see, since the pasuk uses the expression "bekavas kevayim nafesh," that Hashem will steal away the soul of the one who steals them. So you see the explanation that it means nafshesh or gazlan. That it means the gazlan is causing that the Eibishter will take away his own neshama. That's one. Umandom and nafshesh or nigzol. The other opinion who says that it refers to the soul of the nigzol, that you're taking away the victim's nefesh. Dichtiv, because you have a different pasuk in Mishlei that says kein orchus kol beitzeh abasa. So are the ways of everybody who steals at nefesh ba'ol abyikach. They take the soul of the owner of whatever it is they took. So you see, along with the person's money or his valuables or whatever, you're also taking his nefesh.
And therefore you're taking your own nefesh.
Well, fine, but which one is the primary thing? Which one comes first, kind of? The idach nami oksivath nefesh ba'ol abyikach. Fine, the opinion that says that the person is primarily taking away his own, the gazlan is taking away his own nefesh. What did he do with that last pasuk we just quoted as nefesh ba'ol abyikach? He went into ba'ol of the hashta. He would answer, but all of you in the past, it doesn't mean the original owner of the goods. It means the current owner of the goods, the gazlan. The idach nami oksiv akavas kaveim nafesh. What about the first opinion, who says that the gazlan is taking away that is taking away the nigzol soul? What does he do with the pasuk akavas kaveim nafesh, that Hashem will take away the gazlan? He says matam comma. He says the words akavas kaveim nafesh. You have to understand what that means. The pasuk is giving a reason. Matam kavas kaveim. Why will Hashem steal something away from the gazlan, mishum de naklu nefesh, because he took the other person's soul. So then, right, so one leads
exactly
to the other, but
right.
In other words, which one is primary?
So
two different opinions.
You could learn one.
You could learn one from the other, fine, but when the pasuk says that you're taking away kilu noitel nafshe. When we learn kilu noitel nafshe, who is nefesh? Right, one is eventually going to lead to the other. But who is nefesh? Pasha, to understand the pasuk. Okay. Fine. Onward. The Mishnah had said, Amasaib is manchatov. They renders all the supply if the worker demanded the, or requested the pay from you, loitova, and we said if you didn't ask for it, ain't it over all of, then you're not over yet on loisolden. Okay, turn it up on them. When the Pasuk says loisolden for all asacha, when the Pasuk says don't allow the wages of this worker to stay by you overnight, yachal afilu loitova, you would think that means even if the worker did not ask for it, therefore, you have the pasuk itcha. Therefore, the pasuk continues itcha, meaning l'daitcha, meaning that you know about it. Once he asks you, then obviously you know that you owe him this money. So therefore, so that's what it means.
He revealed it to you.
He, yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
I don't know it.
Yeah.
I didn't hear.
But there is, by the way, I should mention.
So if he's poor, you should not have the obligation to ask him to ask you. It should be.
That would be l'fnei mishuras hadin, I guess. But yeah. The truth is, I will mention, actually, again, in the Sefer Avos Chesed from the Chofetz Chaim, he mentioned that not necessarily does asking for it actually mean coming and saying in so many words, give me my salary. It can even just mean that he like stands in front of you and has a look on his face, like, new.
Yeah,
that would also
true,
be good, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's the point is you know about it. Okay. Next, Yochel Afila Aimlo, you would think you're over on this mitzvah, on the Yisurim, even if you don't have the money to pay him. That's another thing we learn from Itcha. Shiyash Itcha means you have the money with you and you're not paying him. That's when you're over. As we
so
said before, if you don't have it, you're not over. Again, l'fnim mishuras hadin, you should go and borrow money.
It's not in your bank account? Itcha
means that you actually have it available. If you don't have it, okay, there is some discussion among the Mepharshim and among the Poskim, how far does it extend? I mean, for example, if you have objects of value, are you obligated to sell them in order to pay the guy his wages? Or maybe you're only obligated to sell them if you can sell them in a way where you're not going to have a loss. If you have to sell them at a short term, then if you have to sell them at a loss, then maybe you're not obligated.
Like if it's gold, you could sell it.
Yeah.
Or wheat, you could sell it.
On the other hand, you should know the party guy. They know it's not what you do.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't have money to pay now.
Yeah, okay.
I'm selling a $13
million
bar of gold to pay you your
no, payment. Come on, right. Yeah. Next, you would think that you're over even if you referred the worker to a storekeeper or to a money changer, which, as we said in the Mishnah, like you say to the guy, you go and buy goods on and have him put it on my bill. You would think then you're over on that. Therefore, that's another thing we learn from itcha, meaning that the responsibility for the payment is by you, not where you referred him to somebody else. I mentioned, by the way, so we mentioned at the beginning of the sugya, we talked about why is it that if you talked about the specific case over there, we asked somebody else to hire workers for you, we said you're not over and neither is the other guy. We talked yesterday about the Tosfos Rids question, which you also brought up, why don't we say Shlokh Shalom Kamosa? I mentioned one answer there that we learned from Itcha, so I had a chance to look up the Tosfos Rid himself gives a different answer, which also relates to the Schenveni and Shochani business. Because once you have two people involved, the worker himself kind of knows that he may end up, you know, he goes to one, then the other one is going to say that the other one is going to put the responsibility on the other one, etc. You know, so sort of, he knows he wants to get paid, obviously.
Right.
But the point is, he obviously was willing to accept that not necessarily is he going to get paid that day. That they're first going to have to get together and settle accounts or whatever, and therefore you're not over. Okay. So now let's discuss this point. So now we have a question on this. If we're saying that the balabas tells the worker, instead of me paying you, you go to such and such a store, you buy goods and have them put it on my bill, and I'll pay him afterwards. Choser or ene choser? Can the worker return to the balabas? Can the worker return to the balabas for his pay or not? Now, what do we mean by that? So Rashi just says that it means if the storekeeper didn't pay him, then does the worker have the ability to return to the balabas? So what is that? Well, so Tosfos discusses a few different possibilities.
We had this Bava Kamma, right?
We had something related to this in Bava Kamma, not really the exact same thing. But you can see there's a long Tosfos over here that discusses all the ins and outs of this. Tosfos gives a few different possibilities. One is, for example, that Tosfos starts off with like this. Let's say, for example, if the worker to begin with says that if the shochani or the chenmini doesn't give me, then I'm holding you exempt. I'm not going to come back to you. Well, then obviously he can't return to the balabas. That's mechila. You don't need a kinyan or anything for mechila. So therefore, Tosfos' first explanation is that he just says, fine, I'm willing to rely on the shochani, But does that mean that by that he's willing to waive any claims to getting anything from the Bala boss or not? That's the question.
That's stipulated to the Pirush.
Well, that's one way of looking at the question. So, which then Tosfos goes on to discuss that maybe a different way of looking at it. You can say, if the Shulchani is willing to pay for it, then the Shulchani becomes an Orev. If the Shulchani is an Orev, then maybe the worker can only go after the Shulchani. And if not, fine. If the Shulchani is not willing to give him the goods, then he can take him to Beis Din. He doesn't have the ability to take the Balabas to Beis Din. Then Tosfos talks about some other possibilities. Let's say you could have another another possibility. Tosfos says that's fine. He says if he says explicitly like this, he says if the guy gives to me good, then you and I are clear. If not, then I plan to return to you. Now the question is, fine, we know if the Shulchani explicitly tells him, I'm not going to pay you, sure, of course he has the right to return to the Balabas. The question is, what if the Shulchani has not said any such thing? Does the worker have the ability to change his mind and say, you know what, forget the Shulchani, I'm coming back to you.
I don't get a good feeling from him.
Let's say I want to just go for you. Yeah. So that's another possibility. And then Tosfos brings up another possibility. Maybe we're not talking about whether he has the ability to go to the Balabas and demand payment. We're just talking about the din, let's say, still during the first day. If at that point the Balabas doesn't pay him, is he over on Baal Tolin or not? Because to begin with, he told him to go to a Shulchan. There's yet other explanations. Also, the Rif gives yet another explanation that we're talking over here. Tosfos brings this point up briefly, but in a different context, that it might be an issue of Maimad Shloshtam. We learned back in Gittin, and sporadically here and there since then, that you have the concept of Kinyum and Maimad Shloshtam. If Reuven owes Shimon money, and he wants to transfer that money to Levi, he can have all three of them stand together, and he says, this money that you, Reuven, owe me, I want you to pay it to Levi. And that's valid. Oh, now, over here, we have a similar kind of thing. We have a three-cornered thing. The difference is that the Balabas doesn't, that the Chenvi doesn't yet owe anything to the Balabas. This is something where he's going to give goods, and then the Balabas is later on going to pay him. There's no previous obligation between them.
And if there is.
Well, there isn't, evidently. That's what we're talking about, because otherwise...
No, there isn't.
No, of course, if there was, then we have nothing to talk about. But usually there wouldn't be, because what? Why, the guy already has a $100 credit by the store? No, the other way around. He's going to be asking this worker to go and take $100 worth of stuff, and later on I'll go settle accounts with the Chenveni. So now the Rif explains the question when we say he choser, and he choser is, is there the possibility that the Chenveni or Shulchani can back out of this? Can he say, it's not really Maimad Shloshtan, it's not really money that I owe you, which instead you're telling me to give to this worker. I don't owe you anything right now, therefore I want out. That's one way of looking at the question also. Okay, so that's...
Didn't we learn in Baba Kama, guy went to the Chenveni and the Chenveni said I paid him.
That's a different case. That's called Chenveni Alpin Kosei. That's
right.
You told him to go to the Chenveni, similar to our case over here, but this is a later stage in it. This is the Chenveni claims I gave him, and the worker says I never received it. That's
a different case.
Here, nothing has been paid.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So the Balabais has to pay again.
Right.
In that case, because he can't say. He's a stranger to the Chenveni.
Yeah.
He can't be expected to go to.
Right. Well, there we say, yeah, that's one of the takonas. Wait. Okay. The choser and a choser. Rav Sheshet Sama Eina Choser. Rav Sheshet says he can't go back, according to all the various explanations of Choser that we just discussed. V'Rabba Amar Choser, whereas Rabba says he can. Amar Rabba Menah Minolah. How do I know that you can go back? Mitkatoni Eina Overall, because the Mishnah had said that if you send him to a Chenveni or a Shulchani, you're not over, implying Mevahu Delay Over, Homahadur Hadur. You're not over on Baal Tolin once you told him to go to the Chenveni or the Shulchani. However, you still do have the responsibility to pay him, and therefore the guy can come back to you. The worker can come back to you, or the Chenveni can undo the deal or whatever. Okay. Rav Sheshet Amar, Rav Sheshet would answer, no, my Eina Over, Eina Betora Slaver. No, the word Eina Over in our Mishnah means there's no possibility of being over because you're completely out of the picture at this point, which is what he's saying, Eina Choser. Once he said, you're going to the Chenveni or the Shulchani, I'm out of the picture. I, the Balabas, I'm out of the picture as far as it's concerned. It's between you and the Chenveni, according to all the various explanations. Again, according to Tosfos' last explanation, all it means is, sure, I'm on the hook to pay, but I'm not over on Baal Tolin anymore. According to the other ones, it's that the Chenveni is the one responsible, and if he doesn't want to, then take him to Beis Din or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. Too easy to say that.
Yeah. The Chenveni had to have agreed to it in the first place, right? Okay. The halacha is like Rabba, anyway. Another question. Bo minei minav sheshes. Kablonus over all the mishum baltolin or ain over mishum baltolin? What about if a person, all this time we're talking about a ruku who's hired by the amount of time, by the hour, by the day, by the week, etc. What about a kablon who's hired by the job? So he's being paid by the job rather than by the number of hours. Over all the mishum baltolin or ain over mishum baltolin? The point of the question is that the two sides of the question are uman kone b'shvachli. Do we say, which is a topic that we've discussed before in Baba Kama and earlier in Armasafta, do we say that when you hire somebody to do piecework, that you're paying him by the job rather than by the hour, he's koine the keli, but via the extra shvach that he put into it. You gave him, for example, pieces of wood. He made them into a table. He now owns that keli by virtue of the shvach that he put into it, and now therefore v'halvadi. Therefore, it's considered like a loan. It's not considered that you hired him. It's considered that he owns that table, you lent him the wood. You lent him the wood. He owes you the value of that wood. Now he has to return that wood, and you will pay him for his work. So then it would be considered a loan. And in that case, then there's no baltolin with a loan.
Oh, well, it's a loan for the wood, not for the work.
No, but the point is, it can't be considered tzchiros. Maybe it can't be considered that you.
What about the work?
What about the work? He was koina that. He still owns that work until you pay him.
Right.
Okay. So then
that's not a loan.
Fine, but it's not tzchiros at any rate.
No, it's not tzchiros.
Oh, ein umen koina b'shvachli, or maybe we say the umen is not koina the wood via the shvach. It was tzchirosi, and then it would be considered regular tzchiros. Omer Rav Shesha is over. So Rav Shesha says, yes, you are over in that case also. Even if it's kablonis. Tosis points out, actually, it's not that Rav Shesha holds that ein umen koine b'shvach kli. In fact, Rav Shesha does hold that the umen is koine. He just says, in this case, he just says, as we're going to see, if there's a case where there's no shvach, as we're going to establish further in the Gemara, then since there's no shvach for him to be koine, then even though it's kablonis, we treat it like tzchiros. If there was shvachli, Rav Sheshes would say that's different.
How can it not be tzchiros?
Wait. Okay, Valtanya ain't over. What about though the braiser that says by a kablon you're not over? The answer is hosam shem cho etochen veni veto shulchani. Yes, but that case is talking about where you refer to him to a chen veni or to a shulchani. Now, the obvious question is then that doesn't just apply to a kablon, it applies to anybody. So one answer that's given in one of the Mephoshim is that the word kablon here kind of has a double, and in Mine Achokma is the name of the sefer, he says the word kablon over here kind of has a double meaning. It means that he accepted to do the work as a contractor. It also means that he accepted that he'll go to a chenveni or a shulchan. So therefore, yeah. Okay, the Gemara says name a Messiah, right? Okay, should we say that we can support what Rav Sheshes is saying based on the following braisa? Hanos and talisil oman, if somebody gives us talis to a craftsman to improve it, as we'll see what the improvement is going to be soon. Gomra, the craftsman finished it, the hodiah, and he informed him that it's done. Afilu mikan v'adasara yamim, so even if the guy doesn't come and pay him until 10 days later, ain't over b'shem baltolin, then he's not over because of baltolin, because the guy still has the talus in his possession. There's a lot of discussion about it among Tosafot and many other acronym. Is it that we say that in general, anytime there's a mashkin involved, maybe you're not over on Baal Tolan, or maybe it's only in this specific kind of case because he actually worked on it? Okay. Anyway, Nosna lebachtia yoim continues the braisa. If the woman gave you back the talus in the middle of the day, Misha Shaka al Chama over Misha Baal Tolan. As soon as the sun sets that evening, if you haven't paid him yet, you're over on Baal Tolan. Now, the Amut Umen
question.
So the question is, the Amut Umen Koine B'Shvach Kli, am I over? If you're going to say that he, in fact, was Koine this talus via the Shvach, we assume that you gave it to the guy in order to make some improvement, like making a new design on it or whatever. If you were going to say that he was Koine it, then he shouldn't be over. The fact
that
we're saying
that he wasn't Koine it since the Shvach was completed.
No, but once he, what, fine, but the point is, one, no, once he said it's complete. He said it's complete.
Yeah, but it was after the...
No. You gave it to him. He finished it. He said he finished it. You haven't paid him yet, even days later. You're not over yet, we're saying. Now, the question is, if he was koine, fine. I can understand he's not over. If he wasn't koine, then you should be over. So the fact that you're saying that you are over implies, like Rav Shesha said, that the woman is not koine b'shvach kli. Okay. The answer is no. Not necessarily, because Omer Mori Brede Rafana, the Gauda Basarula, because not necessarily are you talking about that you gave it to him, let's say, to make a new design on it, which is an actual Shvach. You can have, for example, we have this discussion at the end of Bavakama, yeah. You can have, for example, that you gave it to him in order to brush it up. When you give him a garment in order for him to brush it up, so it's to fluff it up. So it actually, it doesn't
dry cleaner.
Sort of, but the difference is you're giving it to him so that it should be, so it should look nicer and fluffier, but it actually it sort of weakens the fabric.
Dry cleaner.
Okay, maybe. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, you could argue there's no shvach. Okay, the question is,
because
why?
So
the question is still, why is there no shvach? Well, my yavan yalei, after all, what did you give it to him for? L'rakuchi, fine, you gave it to him in order to soften it, to make it softer and fluffier. Heiner shvachai, that is the shvach. Okay, it's weaker now, but it looks nicer, and it warms you up better. Why shouldn't that be considered shvach? The answer is, but the case is, let's say that you hired the guy to stamp on it. Bacho, bacho, b'masa. Each stamping for a coin. Namely, what's the stamping? So Rashi describes like this. When you first bring a garment home from the weaver, you first have to stamp on it. You put it in a wooden container in water together with a certain kind of dirt, some kind of chemical, I guess, and you stamp on it in there, and that toughens it up. That toughens it up because otherwise it'll fall apart too easily. Afterwards, you'll have him then brush it in order to fluff it up again. So what you did is, now let's say you hired him based on the number of stamps that he does on it. Each he does 100 stamps, you're going to pay him 100. You're going to pay him 1 cent per stamp. Well, then it comes out there's no particular shvach over here that you can say that was added to the garment, such that you could say that he's koyin b'shvachli. Then because you're hiring him by the number of stamps. Each individual stamp doesn't really add any. But each individual stamp doesn't really add any shvach to the garment. Later on, when he brushes it, yeah, that improves the value of it because it looks nice. But the stamping itself is not really. The Aruch actually has a bit of a different explanation, which is the stamping can't be considered shvach because it's only a prerequisite for the next thing. After the stamping, it becomes so stiff that you can't really wear it. That's why you need the brushing afterwards. Therefore, the stamping can't really be considered a shvach.
I agree.
So that might be the kind of case. That might be the kind of case where we're saying that you're over because there's no shvach for him to be kind of the cleaver. Not necessarily where it was a case where there's real shvach. For example, you hired him to make a new design on it that you would in fact be over. Maybe you wouldn't. However, it's a dichuri. It's not a sure thing. And the halacha is in fact like Rav Sheshes that you are over regardless. Next, the Mishnah said socher b'zmane nishba v'noitzel fola. We said that a hired worker, when he's claiming within the period that he's supposed to be paid, within the night or within the day, as the case may be, can swear that he wasn't paid yet, and then he can collect his salary. Okay. So the question is, socher, am I takinu le'le rabbanu l'mishtab of a shaker? Why did the chachamim make a takana that the socher should swear and collect? Usually, minatora, you have the concept that you swear in order to be potter. So in this case, you could argue that one way of looking at it is you could argue that the balabas should swear because he's the one who's claiming he hasn't paid yet. Or, fine, even Tosfos discusses, fine, you could say, let's say, for example, the balabas is busy, as we're going to say further on in the sugya, therefore maybe he can't swear, but why are we saying that the socher swears then? Why is there shavua at all? So we have to deal with all of that. Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, halachas gdolos shanu kan. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that there are great halachas taught over here. What do you mean? I mean halachas and ninu. These aren't halachas in the sense of halachas l'moshe misinai. Takonas ninu. This is a takonah d'rabbanan. El Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, takonas gdolos shanu kan. You're right. It's not halachas gdolos, but rather takonas gdolos. Fine. The problem is gdolos mikal d'ichtanis. Are you implying this is a great takonah as if to imply that the other takonahs are the chumra small takonahs? Which Tosfos says, the point of the question is that we're saying halachas shanu kan, as if this is the only place where we learned about takana gdola as opposed to others. Yeah. Elo amar of Nachman, amar shmol takonis gruis shanu kan. Fine. We've changed the lashon in two ways. We changed from halachas to takonis and from gdolas to gruis. Kavuris, Rashi, Tosfos explains. Kavuris,
is that kind of?
No, Kavuris, so Tosfos explains, it's called Kavuris because normally the Shavuah would be incumbent on the Balabas, and instead we're taking it from him and being Kaveya that the Socher, that the workers should do it instead. So therefore it can be called Takanas Kavuris. Meaning like, Shavuah de Balabaisi, essentially the shvua ought to be on the Bala Bais, like any other case where you claim something from somebody. V'akru rabbanon the shvua to Bala Bais. However, the rabbanon took away the shvua from the Bala Bais, v'shadyu ha-sachir, and they instead imposed it on the sachir, mishum kedei chayev de sachir, because for the sake of the livelihood of what he needs, of what the sachir needs for his livelihood. Meaning, in other words, if we leave it to the Bala Bais to swear, what happens if he's swearing falsely? Or not even falsely, but let's say he really thinks that he paid the guy.
Right.
The other guy is going to be left without any money. Yeah. So for that sake, instead we make the sucker swear. Okay. The question is, so what? Why should we make the Bala Bais lose? What happens the other way around? The sucker could also be swearing falsely. The answer is, Bala Bais gufe nichad le mishtaba sucker v'shaku. Yes, but the Bala Bais himself has a certain interest in that the sucker should be able to swear and be able to collect. This way, he'll be able to find workers in the future. If the Bala Bais is the one who's going to swear, and he swears and ends up being potter, other people, other potential workers are going to say to themselves, why should we bother working for this guy? We can't trust that we're going to get our salary from him in the end. Therefore, he's better off having the worker have a way to collect.
We know what's better for you.
Yeah. Okay. The question is, Sacher Gufa
Nichol. No, we know what's better for us.
No, we know what's better for the Bala Bais.
Right.
And the Bala Bais
know what's better for the Bala Bais.
Okay.
He thinks he wants to get paid, but we know it's better for you.
No, right. Come on. Okay. So the question is, you could ask the other way around. Sacher Gufa Nichol Uhubde Vishtava Bala Bais V'Yifka. Why don't you argue the other way around? The Sacher has a certain interest in letting the Bala Bais swear and be potter. Tiecha Dili Gru Bala Bais. It said Tiecha Dili Gru. So people will want to hire him.
Yeah.
Same problem in reverse. If he collects based on a Shavua, other potential bosses may say the same thing. This guy is collecting illegally. We don't want him.
Let me see your resume.
Yeah, the answer is Bala Bais, our koche agar. Okay, but the Bala Bais has no choice. When he needs workers, he has to hire workers regardless. He's not going to have a choice. So fine, there's one particular worker he can't hire. He's going to have to hire somebody. Okay, the question is, socher nami bal koche. Okay, the socher also, when he needs money, he's going to need to be hired out. Either way, whatever you can argue about one, you can argue about the other.
Mm-hmm.
No, you can't answer like that. You have to look at it differently. El Bala Bais torted b'payolim. You have to look at it like this. The Bala Bais is busy with his other workers. So it's not even a question of whether the Bala Bais may be lying or not. He may genuinely think that he paid this guy, and really, because he's busy with his other workers, he forgot. He paid somebody else and thought that he had paid him, or whatever. Okay, so then the question is, Yehoch Nesiv Leibolei Shavua. Fine, then in that case, why do we make the socher swear at all? If we assume that it's very likely that the Bala Bais forgot or doesn't know, Tosfos points out it might be one of these cases of Mechur Yev Shavua, but Shavua Ve'en Yochel Lishava. It might be one of these cases where theoretically the Bala Bais should swear, but he can't because he doesn't know, because he's too busy, and he taka doesn't know whether he paid or not, and therefore we should obligate him to pay without a Shavua. The answer is Kedela Hofis Daita Shabala Bais. Yes, but we make the Shavua in order to make the Bala Bais feel better. Because after all, the Bala Bais is going to have to pay out this guy where he claims, he comes based in after all with a claim, I already paid you. We want to at least appease him. Fine, you're not just going to have to pay Stam on the guy's say-so. We're going to make him take a Shavua. Okay, question is, V'nesiv Leib Eidim, why do we need to go through that whole thing of a Shavua?
Yeah.
Just make a takana that whenever you hire a worker, you have to pay him in the presence of Eidim. The answer is trichaluhu milsa. That would be too much. That would be too much of a tircha. That any time you want to pay a worker, you have to go search for Eidim would be too much of a bother. A shvua is not such a bother. After the fact, you go to Beis Din. Fine, but it's a one-time thing. It's not usual. It's not so usual that it's going to be. The nesiv leib meikra. Fine. What about another possibility? Why don't we say that why don't we make a takana that when you hire a worker, you have to pay him in advance, and then there'll be no problem. The answer is shneim roitzim b'akacha. Both of them actually would rather have that the payment is delayed. The Bala Bais wants to wait till the end of the day because what if he doesn't have the money on hand? The Poyel, Rashi says, is concerned. What if he drops the money sometime while he's working? Then he's out it. Other Mephoshim say another thing also. What if during the day he spends it? What if during the day, before he has a chance to get home, he spends it? Like this. He comes home at the end of the day and immediately puts it in the cash drawer. So therefore, both of them would actually rather have so that the pay is given at the end rather than at the beginning. Okay. See you tomorrow.